Nick, Jagati, Trishtup, Anushtup, and Punkti. They are harnessed by a demigod known as Arunadev to a yoke 900,000 yojanas wide. Thus, the chariot carries Adityadev, the sun god. Always standing in front of the sun god and offering their prayers are 60,000 sages known as Valikilyas. There are 14 Gandharvas, Apsaras, and other demigods who are divided into seven parties and who perform ritualistic activities every month to worship the Supersoul through the sun god according to different names. Thus, the sun god travels through the universe for a distance of 95,100,000 yojanas, or 760,800,000 miles, at a speed of 16,004 miles at every moment.
Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, I have thus far described the diameter of the universe, 50 crores of yojanas, or 4 billion miles, and its general characteristics according to the estimations of learned scholars."
Translation. As a grain of wheat is divided into two parts, and one can estimate the size of the upper part by knowing that by the lower, so expert geographers instruct, one can understand the measurements of the upper part of the universe by knowing those of the lower part. The sky between the earthly sphere and heavenly sphere is called Antariksha, or outer space. It enjoins the top of the sphere of earth and the bottom of that of heaven.
In the midst of that region of outer space, Antariksha, is the most opulent sun, the king of all the planets that emanate heat, such as the moon. By the influence of its radiation, the sun heats the universe and maintains its proper order. It also gives light to help all living entities see. While passing toward the north, toward the south or through the equator, in accordance with the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is said to move slowly, swiftly, or moderately, according to its movements in rising above, going beneath, or passing through the equator, and correspondingly coming in touch with various signs of the zodiac. Headed by Makara, Capricorn, days and nights are short, long or equal to one another.
Okay, and I'm going to read the purport. By His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Brahma prays in the Brahma Samhita. Yachakshuresha Savitasa Kalagrahanam Raja Samasta Sura Murti Ashesha Teja Yasya Yaya Brahmati Sambrita Kala Chakro Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whose control even the sun, which is considered to be the eye of the Lord, rotates within the fixed orbit of eternal time. The sun is the king of all planetary systems and has unlimited potency in heat and light. Although the sun is described as Bhagavan, the most powerful, and although it is actually the most powerful planet within the universe, it nevertheless has to carry out the order of Govinda Krishna. The sun god cannot deviate even an inch from the orbit designed to him. Therefore, in every sphere of life, the supreme order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is carried out. The entire material nature carries out his orders. However, we foolishly see the activities of material nature without understanding the supreme order or supreme person behind them. as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dyakshina Prakritihi. Material nature carries out the orders of the Lord, and thus everything is maintained in an orderly way. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jana Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Pancha Kalpataruvyascha Kripa Sindhuvyavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, Hare Krishna devotees. Sorry, I have a cold or cough, but I'm not dying, so for that reason I'm here. And this is going to be very short. And if you want to hear a scientific class, I have to tell you that I am not a scientist, so sorry. You can leave the place, the room if you want, but I am not a scientist. But I think that this is not casuality, is it for a cause, maybe? Because now take a look at the altar, the decoration of the altar. What is the most, I mean, not the deities, but of the about the decoration, what is the most exalted thing that you see? Yes, Krishna, but not, yes, behind, we have the wall, the curtain. Yes, but I'm talking about the decoration of the altar. Yes, the clouds is similar. Yes, we have like a flower sun, right? Did you see? Like a flower sun? And we can extract from them sun seeds, right? So it's in relation with the sun, the movements of the sun, okay? And with this topic, we can approach to this topic in a very interesting way, or not. It depends on us. But the things that I know about the sun, maybe it's a limited. But I remember when we study in the school, when I study in the school, I was a child, and we study history about the pre-Hispanic cultures. And in pre-Hispanic cultures, we have Mexicali or Mexicans, I don't know. And you have Mayas. You have Incas in Peru. You have Aztecas. You have different native Americans. No? But one thing that is very common among all these cultures, ancient cultures, is that they worship the sun. Sun God. And they don't refer to this God as a demigod. In ancient cultures, you have the designation for these gods, demigods, as gods, different gods. In the Egyptian astronomy and different things, you have this designation. Not demigods, gods, different gods. And the sun God, It was called Inti in the South America, Inti, and in the Mexican territory, how is the name? Do you know something about Mataji? No, Kulkla, Kluklan, something like that. Yes, but if you make a research in the ancient art of these ancient cultures, you are going to find depicted how this culture or natives, they start to perform human sacrifices. And this is like a preview of our chapters here, the hellish planets. This is like a previous description. In ancient times, in order to satisfy this sun god, people used to kill others, sacrifice. But this sacrifice, they used children to sacrifice. No. And the way was very simple. I don't know if you know, but I remember this. There is a, like, cadalso, we call this, but it's a, like, stone, big stone. And this kind of sacrifice wasn't voluntary. I mean, all the people that was killed or were killed, they were prisoners. So it wasn't voluntary. And well, the idea is you put a man in the stone like this, you know, look in the sky, and they, with a knife, you know, make a cut here. No, and the priest, like, it's not the brahmana, the priest, the Maya priest, he enter his hand in the body, no, took the heart of the man and take out, and the heart started, I don't know, yes, beating, no, and they offer this to the sun god. Then they cut off the head, and you know, when you cut off the head of someone, there is a description in the history books that they still moving eyes, no? When you cut the head of someone, they still moving eyes, no? And they threw out the head, no? From the pyramid, no? And the body also. So, wow, was very, very bloody ritual. Hmm? But the thing is that they want to please this sun god because he's very important, because he is the son of war, the lord of war. And we know, we have the description in the Vedic literature that Vibhishan was a kshatriya, or is a kshatriya. So he is a patron of the war. And another thing is that this ancient culture, they depend of the sunrise in order to cultivate things on the earth. And well, the sun was like the providence, no, for them. And for that reason was very, very important. Now, in the Vedic culture, the sun is very important also for us. It's not so bloody, but it's very important for us. And now, for those who want to speak and for those who like to discuss things, I'm going to give you the opportunity to mention very briefly two examples or analogies about sun, because Prabhupada gave us a lot of analogies using this sun god. So, please, can you mention two examples, analogies, or when Prabhupada mentioned this very quickly? Like, tick, 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 tick. Okay, Paramakaruna, microphone. Yes.
Brahmeti, Parmaniti, Bhagwanati, Chabati. The three concepts of realization. First is impersonal truth that is called Bhagwan real. Impersonal truth that is person considered only a sun, the rays coming out of the sun. Mm-hmm. They don't understand anything else. Second is the Paramatma feature. The person understands there is a sun and there is a sun. The sun god is there, something like that. There is Paramatma feature. But Bhagwan realizes something like that. He understands there is a sun, there are people living inside the sun, and there is a sun god. That is the Bhagwan realization. That is the analogy I understand.
Good analogy. Another one? Thanks, Rob. Analogies using the sun god, no? Or sun.
Prabhupada gave us a lot.
And Krishna is like the sun and Maya is like darkness.
Yes, good. Another one, Daita Prabhu, did you remember one?
How Krishna is all-pervading yet localized, like the sun is localized in one spot, but through its rays it's all-pervading everywhere. You know, the sun is in this room, but we can say the sun is in this room by the knowing that the rays might be coming in the room, but it's not the same as like the sun globe coming into the room or something.
We have another one.
The jivas are compared to particles of sunshine. So they're simultaneously one with and different from Krishna.
Yes. Mataji, do you have any example of the sun?
Krishna's like the sun, that he can purify anything.
Can purify anything.
Says that there's like, if there's like a puddle of urine, I think that the sun will, it's not that the sun will get contaminated, but the sun will purify it. So similarly, Krishna is purifying, like some, I don't remember the.
Yes, there is a description in the Sri Upanishad. Okay, any other? Yes, Prabhu, Narahari, you have an example of this.
Sun reveals himself and also that we can see ourselves. Similarly, by devotional service, we can know about Krishna and also about ourselves.
Good. Yes, Mark? Or no, it's not Mark. Mike.
Michael.
But I was looking at the deities in Krishna. He has the full halo in the back of his head, and Radha has the halo but has a hollow in it. And I was wondering if that symbolizes Krishna is the sun and Radha is the rays emanating off the sun.
Yes, the shine of the sun comes from the Brahmayoti, the effulgence of the Krishna's feature. Yes, it's a good example. Any other example? Now you have the opportunity to talk. Himaju? I'm thinking. Okay. Yes, Gokula. Another example of the sun. Wow, it's very important, sun.
When the sun rises, and the sun, this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the sun comes down, take the duration of life of everyone except for those who are engaged in devotional service of Krishna, Katha.
Paramagaruna, another one.
There is no sun right now. So it's compared to the one who start the devotion service. It's light start coming, emanating from his body. So darkness is getting dissipated.
Yes, Acharya.
15th mantra of Isha Upanishad, the devotee prays, "You are like unto the sun, as am I." The spiritual nature.
Well, you are giving the class now, all of you. Yes. Terence, do you want to give an example?
This is a lesser version, but Prabhupada said one time on a morning walk with his disciples that the Vedic knowledge is like the light, and that when he was speaking in reference to his disciples, when you shine his light, you block out all the glowworms, like the impersonalists. He was using that as a metaphor.
Mm-hmm. Wow, excellent. Good. Himanju, you got it? You got one? Excellent. This is the last one.
You can do like a competition, you know, split up and see who comes up with it. The one I remembered was, I think this is in Nectar of Devotion, that Bhava is compared to the first rays of sunlight. And the sun itself is compared to prema. So before the sun is in the sky, the dawn, when the first rays of sunlight come, that's compared to bhava. And then Gokulanapur was sharing the one about how, although you can't see the sun because there's light in the sky, then you know it's there. Similarly, you can't see the soul, but because consciousness is there, you know that the soul exists.
Oh,
that was nice. I didn't quite catch the Nalabhasa.
So, son of God, Ki Jai. We have a lot of examples of the sun god. And for that reason, Srila Prabhupada mentioned here that he is called Bhagavan. Bhagavan, no? He is not Bhagavan, we know. But it's called here in the Vedic literature as Bhagavan. He's compared with Bhagavan because he's very, very important. And we have here the example, no? It's evident, it's a fact that he is important. And another thing that is mentioned in this verse, in the introduction, is the trajectory of the sun, or we can call the motion, is better, motion of the sun. Hear this. When the sun travels north of the equator, it moves slowly during the day and very quickly at night, thus increasing the duration of the daytime and decreasing the duration of night. Similarly, when the sun travels south of the equator, the exact opposite is true. The duration of day decreases and the duration of night increases. So why we need to know all these things? We are not astronomers or astrologers. We are just people who is trying to chant Hare Krishna and be happy and anything. Why we need to know these things? And I remember one chapter that is mentioned, the trajectory of the sun in the Bhagavad Gita. Did you remember the chapter where Prabhupada mentioned the trajectory of the sun? Krishna is mentioned. No, it's not. Maybe, but it's not. No. How did they say when you are far away of that, the result is cold? It's not warm, colder. Okay, it's colder yet. Did you remember the chapter where Krishna mentioned the trajectory of the sun? It's mentioned. But Krishna mentioned the trajectory of the sun, not only Prabhupada. You, good. Chapter 8. Which verse? Last verses. Exactly. Exactly. So, good. Let's read this text. This is a specific section of the Bhagavad Gita. It is called The Devotional Service is Superior in order to attain Krishna. No, because the chapter is attaining the supreme, so it's logically. And the thing is that Krishna says, "O best of the Bharatas, I shall now explain to you the different times at which, passing away from this world, the yogi does or does not come back. Those who know the supreme Brahman attain the supreme by passing away from the world during the influence of the fiery God in the light." At an auspicious moment of the day, during the fortnight of the waxing moon, and during the 6th month when the sun travels in the north. That is the description that Krishna is mentioning. And the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, when fire, light, day, and fortnight of the moon are mentioned, it is to be understood that over all of them, there are various presiding deities who make arrangements for the passage of the soul. At the time of death, mind carries one of the path to a new life. If one leaves the body at that time, at the time designated above, either accidentally or by arrangement, it is possible for him to attain the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. So it is explained that when you leave the body, when you are an yogi with experience, you are a professional yogi, you have the ability to leave the body wherever and whenever you want. You have the possibility. And in that case, the sun god in person, he help you, lift up you. No, I mean, he took you and he promote you to the next level. No, and so on. Tak, 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 tak. For that reason, if you leave the body or pass away in this particular trajectory of the sun, in this motion, you are very fortunate. But what happened when not, or when it's impossible to do it at that moment? Here is an explanation. The mystic who passes away from this world during the smoke the night, the fortnight of the waning moon, or the 6 months when the sun passes to the south, reaches the moon planet, but again comes back. So this is an unfortunate situation. You have to come back. Maybe you are able to enjoy a little bit, but you have to come back. So finally, this is very interesting and is in connection with this chapter. Srila Prabhupada said in the previous purport, however, the pure devotee in Krishna consciousness, Ananya Bhakti or Ananya Bhakta, there is no fear of returning, whether he leaves the body at an auspicious or inauspicious moment, by accident or arrangement. For the devotee, this is not a bewildered situation. So you can leave your body, and it doesn't matter if there is an auspicious or inauspicious moment. It doesn't matter the trajectory of the sun. Now it's in the north, now it's in the... Who cares? No, I'm serving Krishna, and I'm going to return back to God, back to Akhe. That is the explanation of Srila Prabhupada. And here is mentioned, Krishna is superior than the sun god. Krishna is superior. The sun god is controlled by Krishna, by Govinda. And even all this process to attain the supreme is controlled by Krishna also. It not depends of the sun god or the trajectory of the sun god. But it's interesting to know. Oh, okay. Good information. But for us, it doesn't matter, because we are chanting Hare Krishna. I don't know if you remember, a few months ago, we have this kind of premonition of Maya calendar. The world is going to end. This is the end. No, it's going to finish. The people start to build bunkers, no? And homes, and for against this kind of premonition, and start to keep aside food, no? And different things. Have you ever heard about this? And here in America, people construct a lot of bunkers. They have that tendency, no? Because they are afraid of wars and everything. So I remember this kind of paranoia about the Maya calendar. And because the Maya calendar was based in the sun movement or motion, it was very scary, no? But nothing happens. We are here now, laughing, chanting, taking prasad, nothing happens. So we can realize that if we are under the guidance of the spiritual master, if we are serving Krishna, the rest of the things are just secondary. And there is a story about Srila Prabhupada. I want to tell this for finish the class. He was in Mexico. This is like just the proper place, no? In Mexico. One journalist, he asked him, Prabhupada, what happened if now there is an earthquake? No? What happened? And Srila Prabhupada said, we are going to chant Hare Krishna. And the reporter or the journalist said, yes, but you don't have anything more practical to do? And Prabhupada said, what kind of more practical thing we can do? No? In an earthquake, people start run away everywhere, no? And screaming, ah! So we chant Hare Krishna. It's more practical. No? Best is chant Hare Krishna, no? Scream, no? Like a crazy man, no? Ah! The end of the world, ah! So Prabhupada said, no, we chant Hare Krishna. So that is maybe the conclusion that we can take of this chapter. We need to read more things about this chapter. But finally, is in order to understand that the superiority of Krishna. Krishna is superior, and we don't have to be afraid of all these things, and even in the more in the future, the hellish planets are described here. So we don't have to be afraid if we are under the shelter of Krishna. But it's interesting to know also, so we can read more. So I'm going to finish here. If you have any comment or question,
thank you very much, Ru. I just want to appreciate this discussion because actually it was giving me a lot of insight. I used to study a lot of different traditions and even tribal religions. And amongst the Egyptians, there's a lot of mention of trying to leave the body at the right time so that one can enter into this kingdom. And they, as you were mentioning, do a lot of worship of the sun god. And so the kings and everything, and it's all meant so that they can leave their body at the right time and be helped by these deities to enter into a higher, you know, place that perhaps they were thinking was eternal. But I was wondering, it says that they can attain the impersonal Brahmajyoti. So just by leaving your body at the right time, you can achieve that type of liberation. Or how does that fit into the sun god going to live on the sun planet? And also it says that one reaches the moon planet but again comes back. So the moon planet, so it's considered one of the highest heavenly planets, right? And then they come back, but also if they go to the sun, they would have to come back eventually too, right? Anyway, some questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the first thing is that the process that is described here is not by your own effort that you attain that spiritual perfection. It's not the ultimate goal, but it's something, no, the Brahmayuti. And it's explained in the Burijan's Prabhu book, the comment of Bhagavad Gita, that the sun god help you to attain that kind of perfection. But the difference with the moon or is even the both are celestial planets. But in the moon, the mood of enjoyment is different. No, it is explained that there are somarasa and apsaras and everything. And well, I'm just talking about I'm following the explanation of Prabhupada in the purport of Bhagavad Gita. No? When all your pious activities end, you have to return. And even in the Brahmayoti, if you obtain the Brahmayoti, leaving this body in the proper moment, you have to return anyway. Maybe your duration in that stage is more longer than in the moon, but in the Brahmayoti you have to come back again. There is an explanation also given by His Holiness Hanuman Prasad Swami. Sankirtan in the Brahmayoti is called something like that. When a pure devotee when he goes to the spiritual sky, he passes through the different stages, no? Brahmayoti, you know? And he starts to sing the glories of the Lord, no? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and passing through all these different covers, no? Brahmayoti, different material. So, when the impersonalist is in the Brahmayoti, no? In Samadhi, no? Whatever, in Nirvana. Then the pure devotee, no, who is passing from the Brahmayoti, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, he starts to hear something, no? What is that? No. And when he hears that, if he pay attention to that devotee, he has the opportunity to go more, yes. But otherwise, if you don't have that opportunity to hear a devotee, chanting the glories of the Holy Name through the Brahmajyoti, there is no other, there is no possibility to go more deep in the spiritual world. You have to return. Yes, but if you are an impersonalist, you have the opportunity to go. That is the explanation of Hanumat Prasakswami. So, but Prabhupada said, no, when even if you are in the Brahmajyoti, you have to return. Okay, yes, Terence? Last question, maybe. It's turn off. Yes.
We were watching a Vedic cosmology video a few weeks ago in class with Acharya Nishtadas when he was giving class, and it talked about the pole star and how all these planets, even including the sun, sort of rotate around this pole star where the seven rishis dwell. Now, as far as like, let's say our piety or our credits in the spiritual sense, hypothetically speaking, the entities that are on this star system, are they technically situated there, or is it one of those situations where no matter where you are situated in the, I guess, any of these stars, that if you're not in Krishna Loka, then you technically have to fall down? Because it would seem like they were more or less in a position of like a Brahma or even Indra, like where they were basically administrators, you know, that were carrying out some type of service.
Is a question?
Yeah, my question was basically, can you fall down from like a certain planetary system, like let's say the pole star? If the sun and everything else orbits in this universe, then that would mean, technically speaking, the...
You're talking about the polar star.
Yeah.
The polar star is described as a Prithus Maharaj planet. No, a Dhruva Maharaj planet. Dhruva Maharaj planet. It's a Vaikuntha planet in the material atmosphere. But it's Vaikuntha, it's spiritual. So if you attain Vaikuntha, you don't have you don't have the possibility to return here. I mean, you attain the perfection. Because it's Vaikuntha planet. As we understand, Vaikuntha is a spiritual world. So the only way that, the only direction that you can go is yes, but you never return because it's a spiritual. Okay, we finish here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Jai.